Every Christian must purpose to be loyal to Jesus Christ and His principles, no matter the cost.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is the bliss of the persecuted, and it's based here on Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. There is a brand of Christianity about today in our modern world, which I believe seems very much unlike New Testament Christianity. It is an easygoing, popular kind of religion that is acceptable to the world because there is in it no conviction and no cross. A kind of religion which says to the world around it, you can have all of this and Jesus too. That kind of Christianity is foreign to the Bible. There was in Jesus Christ an almost startling honesty. No one could ever say that he had been induced to follow Jesus on false pretenses. They understood exactly what they were getting into when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, because Jesus always laid out the elements that were involved. You can't say as much, I'm afraid, about much of modern evangelism. Jesus told his disciples or his followers what they might expect, and he left no room for doubt that they might and must, under certain circumstances, suffer for his name's sake. Jesus never shared with a man what he offered without sharing with that man what he demanded. And his demand was as total as his offer was free. He offered to those to whom he ministered salvation. What a precious commodity. Preservation from destruction, that's what salvation is. Rescue from all that can destroy a man's soul in this life and in the life to come, that's salvation. And there is salvation in none other name than in the name of Jesus Christ. He offered to those who would follow him salvation, but he demanded of them submission. And if a man was saying to Jesus, I will not submit, he was in effect saying to Jesus, I cannot be saved. Jesus made his demand as well as his offer very clear. To follow him, as you read the New Testament documents, meant taking up a cross. Matthew 16, verse 24. Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 34 and following. It meant that his followers would be brought before magistrates. We're taught this in the New Testament. They would be scourged in the synagogues. They would be hated by all men because of their fidelity to the Son of God. Matthew 10, 16 to 22, and other passages. In fact, Jesus warned that the day would come when those who killed a Christian would think that they were rendering a service to God. John 16, in verse 2. You see, the world has no problem accepting, and it has no problem following, a religious leader who permits it to stay in its sins. But the world will crucify the man who dares to point them to a narrow gate that leads to a narrow way. And that's what Jesus always did. It is a way which introduces a man to abundance of life. It's not as though it's a sorrowful life. It's a wonderful life to be a Christian. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It is a way that introduces a man to abundance of life, but it requires abnegation of self. It means that there's a sense in which I must climb down off of the throne and invite Jesus Christ to set up on it. There's one thing I give up to be a Christian. That's the right to regulate my own life. I give it up to Jesus. And when he begins to regulate my life, I am enriched. I'm never impoverished. I'm always enriched. But it cost me something, the right to rule and regulate my own life. Jesus always stated that. The world will crucify a man that says that. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to submit. It's not native to our nature to submit to anybody's authority, including God's. It is a way that is filled with delight. There are many of us that would gladly stand to our feet and spontaneously enunciate or announce a testimony which speaks of the delight and the joy that we've experienced since we've become Christians. It is a way that is filled with delight but demands from each of its adherents discipline. And these are the kinds of terms that the ancient and the modern world did not like to hear. Abnegation of self, discipline, rigorous discipline in the Christian experience. They'll crucify a man that preaches that kind of a message and offers that kind of a religion, if you will. The universal testimony of the Bible is this: all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 12. And that's nothing other than a reaffirmation of the beatitude we are studying. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And this is never an artificial thing. No man needs to artificially induce this or invite it. We don't have to wear placards in the marketplace, "I'm a Christian, persecute me." All we have to do is become like Jesus Christ. Identify with the one in whom we have placed our faith in order to be saved. And as we become like Jesus Christ, they will treat us as they treated him. It is the inevitable consequence of living a holy life in an unholy and hostile world. Jesus said we should expect it, we should be prepared for it, we should anticipate it, and we should learn how to respond to it. Every Christian must purpose, and I believe this is the thesis of this beatitude, every Christian must purpose to be loyal to Jesus Christ and his principles no matter the cost. If we say we're willing to endure persecution and animosity and hostility and hardship for the cause of Jesus Christ, what we're really saying is this: I am going to be loyal to Jesus Christ and his principles no matter the cost. And if you have that spirit and you develop that kind of character, you are going to be a powerful individual in the world in which you live. You are going to be a dynamic Christian, which makes a lasting and eternal impact on the world in which you live. And the sad fact of the matter is there are not many modern Christians or many modern churches that are willing to have that kind of loyalty. We need it. You and I need it. I need it. Every Christian must purpose to be loyal to Jesus Christ and his principles no matter the cost. We are convinced these are the greatest principles in all the world. There is no greater, more significant personality than the Son of God in all the universe. He has so enriched my life. He has brought such blessing into my experience. I'm willing to die for this Christ. That's the spirit of this beatitude. That's what it's really saying to us. Now, as we look at that theme, I want you to notice with me two significant facets of Jesus' instruction on this subject in this beatitude. We'll only look at one of them. Two significant facets of Jesus' teaching on this subject as I see it in this beatitude. I want you to see just two simple things, but they're profound in their implications. One, I want you to see the reasons for persecution. And Jesus will announce to us that there are two legitimate reasons for persecution. And if we suffer for those two reasons, the blessing of this beatitude applies. If we suffer for any other reason, the blessing of this beatitude does not apply. And then I want you to see the response to persecution. First, the reasons for persecution, and he gives us two. We're going to look at it negatively first, where this beatitude does not apply, and then where it does apply. And then the response to persecution, he states it very clearly: rejoice and be exceeding glad. Sounds almost preposterous. Rejoice and be exceeding glad in verse 12. And that's a subject we'll look at as we try to finish up this series in the Beatitudes. Now first, let's look at the reasons for persecution, negatively and positively, if we may. Negatively, where this beatitude does not apply. And then positively, where it does apply. Negatively first, where it does not apply. I think, first of all, that we must be careful to distinguish between punishment and persecution. Do you know the distinction between those terms? I think we have to be careful to distinguish between punishment and persecution. We are punished by good men for doing evil. We are persecuted by evil men for doing good. And sometimes what we think is persecution is really punishment for our own foolishness. I know I've met a lot of Christians who think they're suffering for righteousness' sake, and they are not. Their own abrasiveness and their own foolishness is heaped upon them, negative reactions from the world around them, and somehow they think, blessed are the persecuted, but they forgot it's for righteousness' sake, not for foolishness' sake. This beatitude does not say, for example, blessed are those who are persecuted because they are objectionable. Some people are born in the objective case. Have you ever met any? They're always objecting. This beatitude does not say, blessed are those who are persecuted because they are objectionable, because they are lacking in wisdom, because they are behaving foolishly, because they are difficult and stubborn and obstinate, because they are fanatical. The beatitude doesn't cover that kind of suffering. Excessive enthusiasm. This is fanaticism. We need enthusiasm. Without it, we die. Excessive enthusiasm and unreasoned zeal. We need enthusiasm. We need zeal, but not unreasoned zeal, are more effective at alienating people than at reconciling them to ourselves and to God. And when we suffer for that kind of foolishness and fanaticism, that's not biblical suffering. I think there are Christians that misinterpret what it means to be bold. Have you ever met anybody like that? I believe there are Christians that misinterpret what it means to be bold. Some people think boldness means abrasiveness. Doesn't mean that at all. Do you know what it means to be bold? The Greek word is pasrema. Well, that's good. That's exciting. Now we know. It means all speech. And do you know what boldness really is? The man who's really a bold witness is the man who tells the whole story, not just part of it. He doesn't water the gospel down to make it less demanding so that it's more attractive. He tells the whole story. That is boldness. Boldness is not abrasiveness. It's not rubbing the man the wrong way. Some people think that's boldness. I'm a bold witness. I get everybody mad at me in my witness, and then I suffer, and therefore this beatitude applies to me. No, it doesn't. Boldness is not abrasiveness. It's telling the whole story, refusing to water down the gospel to make it less demanding so that it's more attractive. That's what the neo-evangelicals do, but that's not what biblicists do. This beatitude, let's go a step further, does not even mean blessed are they that are persecuted for a cause. Some of us are on certain types of rabbit trails, a certain cause we're interested in. Some of them may be legitimate. But this beatitude does not say, blessed are they that are persecuted for a cause. Now, this is a subtle distinction, but I believe it's a legitimate one. There is a difference between being persecuted for righteousness' sake and being persecuted for a cause. You know, there are many good causes about today. Moral causes, political causes, social causes, and sometimes they justify the involvement of Christians on an individual basis. But these good and these just causes are not precisely the Christian cause. And the evidence of it is that many non-Christians are involved in the same cause. We are not called, for example, to transform government. Paul said, this one thing I do, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the servants of the Lord have done.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The simple but basic fact that the Christians were different, and men always regard with suspicion that which is different.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.